And there came a day, unlike any other, when a group of like-minded individuals were united in deep discussion through a weekly movie podcast. On that day, that film stew was born, to bring you reviews and news about the latest and upcoming movies and TV shows. This is That Film Stew.
Hello and welcome to That Film Stew. I'm Luke.
And I'm Jason.
We're here to bring you another episode of That Movie Show. And Jason will be happy because, as you know, Spider-Man is coming back to Marvel as part of the MCU.
That's right. I'm pumped, and you could say Spidey is coming home.
Well, we'll get into that very shortly, as well as heaps of other news. There is a ton of news this week.
But I guess we've got some trailers to talk about, some pretty big ones.
All right, well, let's start trailer talk. And first up, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Oh, man, as soon as that music plays, I know it's only been, what, 4 months since we saw a Star Wars movie, but damn, are you excited?
Oh, I'm very excited. I mean, I've literally just watched The Force Awakens on Blu-ray, the second time I've seen the movie.
Like, literally, like, 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, it's so recent. Yeah, we've got another one coming this year, and Rogue One, you're right, it looks amazing.
Yeah, no, I know they're going to be pumping them out, but I didn't know what to expect from this at all, and yeah, it's really blown me out. The stuff you see in it, like fights on the beach and stuff, it all looks familiar yet very new at the same time.
Speaking of familiar, that was a lot of Forrest Whitaker.
That's okay.
I mean, I like the guy, don't get me wrong, but I've always found with Star Wars, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't know Harrison Ford,
yeah,
Carrie Fisher, but now watching something new of Star Wars, it takes me out a little bit when I know the actor, and I know it's going to happen. That's acting, that's movies. But Forrest Whitaker, for that reason, he did stick out to me.
Felicity Jones is in this movie as well. And oh my God.
But I'm not that familiar with her.
No, I love her. I love her so much.
The other trailer we're going to talk about, Doctor Strange. This is an interesting looking trailer.
Rachel McAdams is in this one and I love her so much.
I like where your mind goes every time. Literally everything we talk about. But this is an interesting looking trailer. Although it starts with Benedict Cumberbatch, Stephen Strange with a very croaky American accent when he's doing the voiceover.
Now, I'm not going to even try to pretend that I know a lot about Doctor Strange, but is he actually a doctor?
It was a like world-renowned surgeon.
Okay.
He's in like an accident. He loses the use of his hands, so therefore that's when he gets all... Well, he's always been Doctor Strange, so I guess he was destined for something, you know, magical.
Something different? But yeah, they've actually got him being a doctor in here, so that's good.
But that's the character, yeah. See, he goes from being one type of doctor to being a doctor of the mystic arts. He becomes the Sorcerer Supreme.
That's it. Now, they've been talking about this type of, I guess, power or this magical element since, like, the Thor film. Like, a different type, you know, like, it's all just a different type of science. So I'm very interested to see what the movie explores.
That was the early days of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where that's what, you know, they were told us that Asgardians, you know, to what we foresee as magic is just advanced science for them. But I do think we're looking at something more and more magical with Doctor Strange. Yeah, so I don't think it's like advanced science. It is, if like the comics, it's actual hocus pocus.
It could still be just a different type of science.
No, I think they are going
fine,
magic.
Fine, whatever.
Okay, new segment.
Oh, straight into it. Okay.
Yeah, straight into it. So if you listened to the podcast before, you may have heard Name That Pilot. Well, this time we have Name That Movie.
Oh, where did this come from? How original.
I will explain. Hey, come on. I try and spice it up every now and then. And you've not played it yet. You might get something out of this.
Something new.
Okay. I will explain a movie in just one or two sentences.
Oh, so if you're generous too.
And from those sentences... You have to name that movie. Okay. See, that's where the name of the segment comes in.
Oh, makes sense now. I was wondering.
A wisecracking boiler technician teaches high school students to believe in their dreams. Laughing now, are you?
Is this The Karate Kid?
It is A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, right. Oh, wow. Okay. You put a spin on the clue.
Next one. An old man obsessively stalks a teenage girl.
The Karate Kid 4. No. An old man obsessively stalks teenage girl. Old man. Wow, this is quite hard. There are a lot of movies in the world.
Twilight. Just to hoover you along ever so slightly.
Yeah, come on.
And come on, we'll do three. One more.
You mess with me.
A young man forcibly binds other men and photographs them for money.
I want to say like the human centipede.
Is that your answer?
Because I've got nothing else, I'll go with it.
Okay, the answer is Spider-Man.
Bloody hate.
And now that is a perfect segue into our movie news. And first up, Spider-Man as a title. Jason.
What a segue. Ian. Okay, yes. Spider-Man Marvel and Sony Spider-Man reboot is officially titled Spider-Man Homecoming. Now, that probably might sound a bit like left of center for some people, but Homecoming is actually a reference to Marvel's 1980s comic book run that features cameos from Captain America and Iron Man. It was a 1984 issue, number 252, titled, obviously, Homecoming. It's best remembered for being the introduction of Spider-Man's black costume.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, so the premise is that he is actually returning home from the Secret Wars. So he went off into that comic book event. So I'm thinking the tie-in with this is obviously it's set after Civil War. So he's sort of, you know, doing all this stuff with Iron Man and all that kind of jazz, and then he's going home. Or he's in high school and he's attending his homecoming dance.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking high school, homecoming, but also Spider-Man coming home to Marvel.
That's it. Like, it's a joke in that there may actually be a homecoming dance. And I think with the way that it played out in the comic with the same title is that he's coming back from a big superhero adventure, trying to get back into his normal life, which I think works out with him getting involved with the Marvel folks.
So are you happy with the title?
Because of this sort of connection, yeah, I think it works. Back, I think when we were first talking about it, Spider-Man, the New Avenger, definitely would have loved that.
Yeah, that's a strong 100 title.
Times more. Once again, would have called back to Captain America, the first Avenger. And yeah, would have been like a good sort of connecting bridge for the future of the MCU. But nah, this is fine.
Do you like the little spider face logo on the O of Homecoming?
I gotta say, yeah, the Spider-Man Homecoming, the whole like logo title card thing. I don't really like the font. It looks like the title card of a new cartoon.
But I've got to be honest. If you're going to give me Spider-Man as part of the MCU, call the movie, whatever you like. Just give me Spider-Man.
Fair enough. We're not complaining. We're happy. We're going to see it, and I'll be there midnight screening wherever I can get it. But also on that, Michael Keaton apparently could be returning to the superhero universe.
And I want this to be true so badly.
And not in a best picture. That's not even a superhero movie. I won't even give that to him. Okay. It's going to be a villain. Now, the word is that it's not going to be a villain we've seen in a live-action Spider-Man movie.
Oh, thus, man. Yeah, that's Vulture. I'm thinking Vulture. I'd rather it not be. I was hoping we could get... I know we've had Norman Osborn before, but Michael Keaton as Osborn, I think, would be fantastic. Don't give me Vulture. Mm. I don't want Michael Keaton in wings flying about New York.
I've always said Ben Kingsley for Vulture would be perfect.
Although, you give me Michael Keaton in another superhero movie, and I'm there.
But there's a few other names. There's Craven. There's anything you're cool. Like.
Okay, but think of Michael Keaton. Chameleon. Craven the Hunter.
Well, let's think. If we're going to do like Spider-Man early days, maybe like a low-key one. Chameleon, Scorpion.
I mean, Michael
some
Keaton.
Other guy.
Keaton does have a comedic background. Like Chameleon, that's a character I think he could, you know, really
and
do something with.
I'm fairly sure Chameleon was Spider-Man's first foe. We're talking like.
Oh, come on, Spidey fan.
Yeah, I think he was.
Was he?
I think so.
I don't know. That doesn't sound right.
I think he was just a guy who just wore a mask though at the time. Like he just had different costumes. Called him the Chameleon.
Fact okay.
Check. I'm going to go with it. I think that's true.
And I'm killing the flow here, man. Any more Spider-Man news?
Yes. Tony Revolori from the Grand Budapest Hotel and Laura Harrier, One Life to Live, they have joined the cast.
But we don't know who.
No idea.
But they've joined.
They look like children.
Well, oh, so does Tom Holland.
Yeah, so...
It fits.
Friends.
Now we have some Thor Ragnarok casting. Tessa Thompson, who you'd know from Creed, she is set to join the movie in both a female hero role and as Chris Hemsworth's love interest.
She's very attractive.
Well, it's almost like one in, one out, because Natalie Portman will not be returning for this film. She's rumoured to be Valkyrie, who is an Asgardian warrior woman. That'd be interesting.
So that's pretty cool. So give him, you know, a love interest who is Asgardian, a fighter, all that kind of stuff. But I think, I don't know, to not bring back Jane Foster is, I don't know, it just kind of came out of nowhere, but I think there's a bit more history there regarding...
Well, one of the really good moments in Age of Ultron was Stark and Thor competing who has the better love interest.
Mm.
And that kind of falls flat if we're not going to see Jane Foster ever again.
I guess Pepper Potts wins by default.
Yeah, and she's even in Civil War.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Unfortunately, it won't be starring Benicio del Toro, who played the Collector, or John C. Reilly, also won't be returning. He was obviously just the Core Man, or Corpse Man, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, well, he named played
Day.
Core Man Day.
Yeah, part of Nova Corps.
Well, I feel like his story kind of wraps. Like, he went home to his family, end of the movie.
Yeah, he didn't really...
So that was the end of that chapter.
A comeback would be a bit redundant, really.
And when we last got to see the Collector, so at the end of Guardians, he was licking his wounds after, you know, his, you know, his collection was ransacked. Howard the Duck escaped.
Do you think he just played his part and that was...
Well, maybe, yeah, for now, there's no space for him in this movie, but we could see him in another upcoming Guardians movie. What, Deadpool? The sequel is a go.
Whoa, that's surprising.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of thought it was a go when Deadpool announced it at the end of the movie.
We're having a segment, yeah.
But interestingly, the entire creative team behind the film will return. So that is Ryan Reynolds, screenwriters Rhett Reese, Paul Wernick, and director Tim Miller.
Yeah, well, obviously Ryan Reynolds is a given. But no, it is good news for the screenwriters and the director to be coming back, because obviously they made magic.
I mean, we both love this movie. I think, you know, most people did. This movie did gangbusters at the box office.
Yeah, and there's a reason for it, and there were people responsible for that happening, and they're the names that, you know, you've just listed.
So now, can they do it again?
Probably not, no.
Okay.
Oh, lightning in a bottle is... Ooh. Okay, we've got some casting for Wolverine 3. Boyd Holbrook from Narcos will play the lead villain in the... I guess the final Wolverine outing. He's a character that's described as a relentless, calculating, and intense head of security for a global enterprise who is, you know, set against Wolverine, so in some antagonistic way.
I mean, it's a, yeah, it's the bad guy role.
Yeah, so see where that goes. Producer Simon Kinberg revealed the movie takes place in the future.
Now, this is exciting.
See, how far in the future are we going? And, you know, we've heard rumors before that Hugh Jackman's last Wolverine film will be based on Old Man Logan. So with it being set in the future.
I mean, that's the hope, isn't it?
You know, it's all there.
And we talks of it being an R-rated movie as well.
Yeah, so the story by Mark Miller and Steve McNiven, it saw an aged and retired Wolverine doing battle with a maniacal future versions of Marvel characters in a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
I mean, that is a good point. So there's characters integral, I find, to that story that do not belong to Fox, but instead are Marvel Cinematic Universe and Marvel Studios characters. So we're not going to get to see the Giant Man Bridge. We're not going to get to see Red Skull wearing Captain America's costume.
I'd imagine they'd probably just like replace them with existing X-Men. I know, but bring them forward.
Oh, yeah. But I wouldn't want it to be Old Man Logan Light. So we're not going to get the Hillbilly Hulks.
Yeah, but you're never going to get... Well, you won't get them anyway, so...
But you would do if it was all shared either and everybody was like... Either we wait, hanging out and having a good time together.
We wait 15 years for the X-Men franchise to finally die. Maybe it could happen.
That, I mean, come on. X-Men is showing no signs of
slowing
down.
No, it's on a bare road.
But a version of Old Man Logan could be heading our way.
I think, yeah. And they might make the right choices.
Okay, DC news.
Aww.
This is where I like to enjoy spending my time.
But I had such a good run.
You know, I thought I'd ease in with all the Marvel news. Okay, so Man of Steel 2. Zack Snyder says standalone Superman movies haven't been announced to support the events of Batman v Superman. While Henry Cavill admits that he's very keen to do them.
I'm assuming the events
now, this
being...
is the big spoiler thing at the end of the movie. I think most people have seen it at this stage, but I wouldn't want to just say it now.
I think if you know what it is, you know what it is and why.
Well, that's it.
Announcing another movie would ruin that.
But I found that even people that haven't seen the movie know this happened. Yeah, I'm still not willing to say it. But it just seems silly that Zack Snyder is unwilling to, like, announce any sort of talks of a sequel. I mean, come on. Like, Henry Cavill, there's photos of him online on the set of Justice League.
Like, you know he's going to be in Justice League. Like, it's silly. It's like when that thing happened at the end of BVS, whether or not they were going to address it at the end of the movie or in a later movie,
but
he would be back.
Whether that's the real reason or the reason that Snyder's giving, but that's why they're saying that there's currently no talks of another Man of Steel movie.
I think it's always been like this. DC seems to have a lack of confidence in a Superman film.
Yeah, I mean, they're happy to talk about a Cyborg movie, but, you know.
Yeah, well, that's it. But, I mean, they've done their Superman movie, and, you know, despite everything, it was, oh, but a Batman movie's coming. Don't worry about that. Oh, Wonder Woman's, you know, Wonder Woman's coming. That's
I mean, personally, I'm happy with the pace because we're talking about
a sequel to
Man of Steel, another Superman movie. Well, I've just watched Batman v Superman. I'm going to be watching Justice League, so I'm happy with
Superman's
the pace.
Superman's coming back, like, soon. We'll see him regardless.
But not that he's gone anywhere, if you haven't seen Batman v Superman.
So I just mentioned Wonder Woman very briefly there, but yeah, we've got a release date that's been moved up from June 23, 2017 to June 2, 2017. So big news there. And Warner Brothers has dated two untitled DC Cinematic Universe movies for October 5, 2018 and November 1, 2019.
Now, one of them could be the rumoured Batman movie, or, well, the title, The Batman.
The Batman.
I'm saying rumoured. I guess the rumoured part is The Batman is the title. But we are getting a Ben Affleck solo Batman movie, and he's directing.
So this is confirmed. Happening.
Confirmed. It is currently unknown when the film will be released, but a script reportedly exists. So we're hearing talks from Kevin Smith, Geoff Johns, that it does exist. So Affleck will next appear as Batman in Suicide Squad, which is directed by David Ayer. Justice League Part 1, directed by Zack Snyder, and is expected to continue in the part in the Justice League sequel.
Well, you know, we're just going to say it. Batman was one of the better aspects of the Batman v Superman movie.
I mean, we're not going to get into that. We dedicated a whole podcast to that movie.
Check it out, plug!
Keeping with Batman. So of course. Batman, the Killing Joke. Yeah, you're right. They love Batman. So the animated movie officially receives an R rating. We spoke about this before. So R rating in America, that's at MA15 here in Australia.
So don't lose your pants.
The Killing Joke marks the first film in the DC Universe original movie franchise to receive an R rating, and it's the second Batman movie to do so. So the extended home video version of Dawn of Justice, that's the first. We've yet to see an R-rated Batman, but now there's two.
No, I always thought this was already announced kind of thing, but I guess it was just speculation, rumour being talked about.
I mean, it works for Batman.
Yeah. Not for Teen Titans.
Well, that's a reference to we recently reviewed Justice League versus Teen Titans.
We review a lot of DC movies. You see what you're doing to me? Okay. Let's move on from some comic book movies to a comic book movie. So Kingsman, The Golden Circle. Channing Tatum has joined the cast of the Kingsman sequel.
Well, Gambit's currently on hold, so he's, I guess, got time on his hands for another comic book movie.
There we go. We've got Marvel have their confidence in Wolverine, and that's how they like it. But also Elton John is in talks for a key role. Now, the first movie had a few, like, actual celebrity cameos. You reckon Elton John playing Elton John?
Well, the original comic, Mark Hamill was in it as himself, and then he actually played a role in the Kingsman movie.
Ah, okay.
But I'm unsure, so...
It could go kind of either way, like...
Yeah, so whether Elton John's going to play himself or actually play a character. I'm more excited about Tatum than John, if I'm honest. I don't know about you. I mean, you know...
I think it'd be cool if Elton John... did the score. You should write some songs and just get together with Tim Rice and put a few tunes together.
I know, when they say key role, I don't think they're talking about the score.
You never know. Maybe we're misreading it.
Okay, more Channing Tatum news. The Men in Black 21 Jump Street crossover movie gets an obvious title, MIB 23.
I don't know if this is an obvious title.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
It would be... 23 Jump Street.
23 Jump Street, yeah.
I mean, it does sound like Men in Black 23. It's like, wow, that's a long franchise.
It's like, wow, they've done a few. Yeah, I think I've told you where I stand on this. I'm fully on board, you know, looking at them taking the piss out of crossover movies and shared universes and stuff. So it's going to be fun, man.
So Galaxy Quest 2 was in the works before Alan Rickman passed away. Sam Rockwell revealed that Amazon was close to greenlighting a follow-up to the cult film. So close.
Yeah, this is actually really devastating.
Really enjoy the movie. Yeah, Galaxy Quest. I think it's a great movie. Well, being a Star Trek fan as well, and this is like essentially that, like, you know, poking fun, but like,
yeah,
it's got the heart about it. Yeah, that really like Galaxy Quest.
I remember when it was first coming out, a lot of people were, a lot of like Trekkies and stuff were really, I guess in a way against it. They were like, oh, what is this? It's just going to, you know, they're really going to rip into Star Trek and, you know, geek culture and stuff like that. And then it came out and it was like, wow, they really did a good job at having fun with it. So, yeah, no, I'm hoping they still can bring it back and maybe upgrade Sam Rockwell to a, you know, almost a replacement role in a way.
Well, Rickman's character wanted out in the first movie. So, you know, it wouldn't be that far-fetched if they were to continue without him. But at the same time, would you want Star Trek without Spock?
Yeah, but...
You would?
No, no. But was Rickman, like, the key to the movie?
Oh, I think he was pretty crucial.
Mm. Okay. We'll leave it at that. The Jurassic World 2. No, I hate calling it Jurassic World 2. I want to call it Jurassic Park 5.
Okay.
Because why not? So the Jurassic World sequel. it's going to be directed by J.A. Bayona, who directed The Orphanage, a movie I have not seen.
I haven't seen it either.
This
Hobbit movie?
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this news doesn't really entice me in a way, except maybe the, now you've mentioned the horror element to it, which might give it something extra. I don't know. But it's possible we might also be seeing Dr. Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park 5 with Jeff Goldblum open to returning. And oh my God.
Okay. So I was wondering, so this is good news for you?
Yes.
Yeah?
Did you know he had a very minor cameo in Jurassic World?
In the first one?
Yeah.
No, he was in the first one.
No, Jurassic World.
Oh, Jurassic World.
Yeah, he appears on, you know how they're reading his book?
Yeah.
He appears on the back, just his picture.
But is that not the movie that he's in?
Jurassic World?
Yeah.
No.
I'm thinking of The Lost World. I apologize. No. Can we do what you're saying? Can we call them Jurassic Park 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? I got lost. I feel silly.
I'll make a deal with you. We can call the third one Jurassic Park 3 and then leave it at that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm messing with you.
This is getting silly. okay. Let's talk sensible. Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart are in early talks for a Jumanji remake. Like, what the hell? I like both these guys, but really?
This? Do you know what this gives me the vibe of is sort of, okay, you got a kids movie, you've got like adventure, it's Journey to the Center of the Earth. That's
but
what it is.
He's done that, like,
yeah, like
The Rock's done that already.
Why does he want to keep doing this?
If you're not familiar, and I don't think there's people out there that aren't familiar,
Jumanji
tells the tale of a 12-year-old boy who gets trapped in a board game in 1969, only to be released 26 years later.
What year is it?
So
that's where that's from.
You've got to think that Kevin Hart would be the Robin Williams, because you can't imagine like The Rock emerging from the board game.
maybe The Rock will be Van Pelt. He'll just rock around with a rock around. Wow, that just slipped out. He'll just run around with a shotgun and just or a rifle.
I mean, whatever you think to this news, you've got to agree it's interesting.
Yeah, but do you know what? Like, you know, they're talking remake there. I don't know. I think I would want, if you've seen the first Jumanji movie, or the Jumanji movie, at the end, you know, they get rid of the board game, they throw it in the water, it washes up on like some beach where there's some French birds talking and, you know, they're hearing the drums. It doesn't necessarily have to be about the French folks, but make it about the journey of the board game. Make it wash up somewhere else and someone else picks it up and have it runs loose. Why not?
I mean, it was a visual spectacle. This movie was just incredible.
Yeah.
And
with the effects today, like they could really, you know, do some cool stuff with it. Did you ever watch the animated series? Then they get sucked into the board game and you go to Jumanji?
I didn't like actively watch it, but I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you want them to go into Jumanji and see what the jungle has in store?
Well, I'm just surprised about them saying Johnson and Hart being listed as being in the movie. That would make me think that maybe they do actually both go into the gang.
And then it's like a buddy comedy.
Yeah.
Fighting monkeys and elephants and vines and stuff and plants.
Well, this movie's happening. And it is scheduled for release in 2017. I think we've got some odd news this show. And I think you've got another one coming up now.
I've got one. S-C-O-O-B. What does that spell?
Scoob.
Scoob?
This is an acronym. We don't actually know what it stands for, but yeah, Scoob.
Well, it spells out Scoob. That's it. Warner Brothers are looking to launch a Hanna-Barbera. Is that how you pronounce that? I was born in the 90s, so I've just made it up since then. Cool. The Hanna-Barbera Cinematic Universe. The first movie will be the animated reboot of Scooby-Doo titled Scoob.
Ah, I get it now. Kinda. Scoob. Scooby-Doo.
Really?
Nah, I knew all
that. Okay. I was having real concerns there. There is obviously no shortage of properties they can pull from. The Flintstones, Jetsons, Yogi Bear, Johnny Quest, and dozens more that I've probably never watched because, again, I was born in the 90s.
And have you even watched them? The ones I've just listed?
Have I watched the Flintstones, the Jetsons, Yogi Bear? I don't know what Johnny Quest is. I won't lie.
Oh, do you not?
I don't know what that is.
It's a young boy with yellow hair. Or I guess blonde. But in the cartoon, he's got yellow hair. And he goes adventures.
His boy, Elroy.
And he goes on adventures with his family, the Quest family. I used to love that show as a kid.
So they go on a quest.
And that show had an awesome theme tune.
Yeah. I'll look at it later. I'll look it up.
In fact, stay to the end of this episode. I'm going to feature the end credits of Johnny Quest. I love it so much.
Cool. I'll just wait until you play it on the podcast when I listen back. It looks like we're getting something coming September 2018, I believe.
Shared universe. Marvel are doing it.
They're all set in different times.
DC are doing it twice now. So they've got Warner Brothers, should I say. They've got a DC universe, and now they're going to have the Hanna-Barbera. But yeah, you're right. They are set in different times, but they can easily just make them, you know, time travel, Jetsons, going back in time to the
Flintstones. I think there was a Flintstones Jetsons movie that did that or something.
I mean, we've seen all the characters together before in Wacky Races.
I thought you were going to say, like, what's that show about that lawyer? Harvey Birdman.
Well, I guess the character did count? In there. Yeah, but that was more like a comedy show. Wow, we spent a lot of time talking about Scooby-Doo.
Scoob!
Pokemon. Well, a bidding war has erupted over
the film. Do you know what Pokemon
night.
Is? 30-year-old man?
I'm familiar. I've not actually watched a whole episode, but I know what it is. So yeah, a bidding war has erupted over the film rights to a live-action Pokemon movie. The Pokemon Company has reportedly held a top-secret auction for the rights, with Thomas Lull's legendary Warner Brothers and Sony all vying for the winning bid. Legendary appears to be the favourite for the time being, but since their parent company Wanda is Chinese, it could pose a problem given tensions between China and Japan in the past.
Yeah.
Oh, this just got heated.
Well, it was one of the big, like, crises of Legendary Pictures being picked up by the company Wanda. But, dude, a live-action Pokemon movie, I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited.
I feel dead inside. This does nothing for me.
No, but, like, of all the things that have been turned into live-action things, like, you'd think Pokemon, it's had a rich history of fan base for, like, 20 years. Like, it's due, man. It's got to come. And I've always had this thought of, like, not that this is a good movie, but Wolverine Origins, right? Where it's, like, you know, it's set during the war at the beginning of the movie. I'm thinking something like that, but instead of mutants, you've got, like, Pokemon and stuff, like Persians and, like, dragons and stuff, just, like, flinging over things.
They're just little creatures, like, made-up creatures that live in balls.
Yeah, but, no, they're like... They're
what,
like,
what do they do when they're in the balls
they're
and
essentially,
they're not being used in fights?
Okay, history of Pokemon. So Pokemon is basically... They're just, like, they're just animals.
Are they just in the balls the whole time, though? But are they trapped in the balls?
No, only when they're... No, they're in the wild. They're, like, animals. Right. But then, like, you're a Pokemon trainer, and then you, like, catch them in the ball.
So,
and you've got to catch them all.
So socially, would you spend time with your Pokemon? But then when you're ready to fight, you put them in the ball, put the ball in your pocket, you go and fight your opponent, you release him from
you're
the ball.
There, I think the rule is generally you keep them in the Pokeball, but obviously you let them out whenever. You don't have to just let them out to fight. But the shows and the games have always been very avid to be like, you know, so it's not like animal fighting, it's more like... You're a team, you work together, you train hard together, and it's about like a friendship thing. So there's no harshness there with the animal abuse kind of stuff. Look into it. It's fun. Pick up a game.
No, I feel as though you've told me as much as I need to know, but stay tuned. We'll have more news on a live-action Pokemon movie that I'm sure more than just Jason will be excited about.
There's gotta be people that think, come on. Now, Disney is going ahead with a live-action version of Peter Pan.
Did we not just have Pan?
Oh, I think we're overdue for a new Pan movie. I mean, it's been a while.
I recognise that Pan wasn't Disney, but that was fairly recent.
Oh, man. Tell me about it. So obviously, Disney made the animated classic in 1953, which I think this is going to be more of an adaptation of. The director David Lowery from Ain't Them Bodies Saints will helm the new version from a screenplay by Toby Holbrooks after their own live-action remake of Disney's Pete's Dragon, which is coming out in August. So, you know, they're doing stuff there. Obviously, looks like Disney thinks they're doing a good job because they're giving them the boy in green tights.
At this point, they're just not going to stop until they've made live-action versions of the whole back catalog.
But I think there's a lot more they can pull from, ones that, you know, we haven't really seen live-action movies of, you know, in recent years anyway. You know, like Hunchback of Notre Dame is one of my favorite ones.
Hell, oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. Oh, the music, man. The music. Shut up.
Oh, sorry, I've not seen that movie in years.
I haven't seen The Jungle Book yet, but apparently that's pretty good. So, you know, why not take a crack at, like, The Lion King? As if that won't sell tickets, unless they just don't want to touch it.
Because... I mean, the Broadway show is huge.
Actually, no, I'll take it back. They abuse The Lion King. There's a new Disney Channel TV show, The Lion Guard. There were those sequels. Why haven't they done The Lion King yet? That's weird.
But they made 3 movies.
Animated ones.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it's...
Years ago. Like...
I know that's a couple of decades old now.
Mm. Yeah.
But still,
it'll be like
for
94,
me,
I think.
It seems too soon to remake it, but if...
Oh, you think they're going for classics?
But if they're doing The Jungle Book, I mean, I'd have thought that wouldn't have been a movie they'd adapted live action because
that,
of all the animals.
Or 60s?
And they've done it. So maybe The Lion King could be next up. But we're getting Tim Burton, Dumbo, and loads
the
of...
The thoughts of that is still weird. Yeah. Like... Almost black and white, set in a circus. Danny Elfman music. It's all there.
Well, from live action to animation, Illumination, which is the studio behind Despicable Me and Minions, they've announced that Benedict Cumberbatch will be voicing the Grinch in a new film.
The Grinch?
So we had Jim Carrey in the live action version, but now they're going animated.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on this? Do you have a personal attachment to the Grinch?
Nope. Watched the first movie, enjoyed it.
But, cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's been versions before Jim
Maybe
Carrey.
It's more
animated.
Of an American thing.
But I think the big thing about this in the news story, they're saying that the original was How the Grinch Stole Christmas. This one will simply be titled The Grinch. But in the UK, the Jim Carrey one was also just The Grinch.
Yeah, I think.
Is that the same here?
Yeah, in Australia it's just The Grinch, I'm pretty sure.
Well, there you have it. We're getting another Grinch movie.
Okay, a futile and stupid gesture. I'm assuming you know what this is.
Oh, I am so excited about this movie.
Now, Will Forte and Domhnall Gleeson are set to star as the co-founders of National Lampoon in Netflix's upcoming biopic, A Futile and Stupid Gesture. So we've got Joel McHale as Chevy Chase.
Which is very interesting. I mean, these guys work together
thinking,
on Community.
Yeah, Community.
Apparently there was some friction behind the scenes. So for McHale to then play Chevy Chase... I'm curious.
Like, do you reckon Chevy Chase is sitting around being like, that guy?
I mean, imagine if you had a falling out with somebody and then they played you in a movie. Mm.
But maybe the media and stuff have played up that.
And that's just it. I've not got all the facts. There is a story out there, but I just found that interesting. But there's more casting.
Rick Glassman as Harold Ramis. John Gimbling, who played Bevers on Broad City, will be John Belushi. And John Daly will play Bill Murray.
I've got to be honest, I'm more familiar with the real-life people that these actors are playing, but I'm excited. Very, very excited to see this movie.
I think Gimbling will play a good John Belushi. What do you think of... Obviously, you've got maybe a Harold Ramis fandom there. Do you have an opinion on Glassman?
Yeah, no, again, I've only seen pictures of the actors that are playing the real-life people.
Do you reckon they're working, but...
Yeah, I think they look great. Like, just how they look, I think they've nailed it. Cool. Although, McHale, Chevy Chase, not so much, but the other actors, definitely.
Prosthetics. Anyway, this is going to be based on Josh Karp's best-selling 2006 book about the troubled life and storied career of National Lampoon co-founder Doug Kenny. The film also charts the impact of the comedy magazine and the subsequent media empire it spawned during the 1970s and 80s.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I've always been a fan of Saturday Night Live, you know, all the comedians that have come out of it over the years. So yeah, this is one to watch. Fast and Furious 8. Scott Eastwood has signed on for the movie. His character looks like he's going to be playing the good guy, as he'll be operating under Kurt Russell's Mr. Nobody. Interesting casting there. So I'm not sure if he's going to be, if the intent for him to fill the void that's going to be left by Paul Walker, or if he's just a character that eventually incorporated anyway.
He's a young, handsome-looking man, yes, isn't he? So I think he fits into that sort of typecast.
But also, Charlize Theron has joined the movie, and she's been described as the franchise's greatest adversary ever.
Yeah, now she's a beautiful woman and a really good actress. So, man, the talent that they're throwing in there.
Yeah, and they've consistently been doing that for the past few movies. Well, starting with The Rock.
I'll take your word for it.
That's right. Jason does not watch these movies. He's not a fan of car porn. I love these movies, and I'm not a car guy.
I think if I Googled car porn, I won't get Fast and Furious.
Okay. Okay, well, maybe do that in your own time.
Okay. Underworld Blood Wars will be the name for the fifth installment of the series, which features Kate Beckinsale returning as Selena.
Okay, so that's happening.
That's it.
Kate Beckinsale. Now
we knew.
Beautiful woman. Absolutely stunning. You know, I'm Jason for a change.
You gotta mix it up.
Yes, another one's happening. You know, I did like it when Beckinsale came back for part four. She was absent from the third one, which was a prequel. Yeah, they're doing more. I'll watch it. Anything more to add?
Nah, man. That's okay. It.
Now, Warner Brothers, they're making a prehistoric shark film titled Meg, and it's reportedly found its leading man in Jason Statham.
Bet you're stoked.
Mic drop. Meg tells the story of an attempt to take down Megalodon, a giant prehistoric shark that is killing swimmers all along the coast of China. Statham versus killer shark. I'm down. That sounds great.
It sounds entertaining.
Yeah, if they're looking at action stars, I think Statham is the right man for the job.
And he does pull off I think he's willing to just let loose and just get in there and have a good time, didn't he? So,
just at one point, if he punches that shark, I'll be so happy.
Oh, that statement alone has pulled me in.
It's happening. Well, reportedly happening.
I tried to watch the Sharknado movies.
Oh, I couldn't. I tried the first one.
My missus told me I wasn't allowed. She said they were stupid.
Yeah.
She stopped me.
I tried because, you know, all the kids were talking about this great Sharknado movie.
And I wanted to be cool.
Yeah, and I just thought, you know, I'm just not cool enough. But that's enough for killer sharks. What else you got?
Okay, we've got a fourth chapter in the Insidious trilogy. That makes no sense, but that's fine. I'm going to go with it. Now, presumably it's with Lee Wanoh from Saw, and Insidious, I'll be back directing.
Yeah, I'm completely on board for more of these movies.
Now, I really liked the first and second. I think there was a bit of distance between me and the love for this film with the third one, but maybe I should revisit it. And did you like the third one?
Yeah, not as much as the first two, but no, I did.
It was a different sort of movie, wasn't it? Yeah, we'll see what happens with this one. I'll check it out.
TV news. The Flash and Vixen, 2-for-1. Now get ready, Jason, for more crossovers. DC are at it again. So Katie Cassidy, Black Canary, is heading to The Flash. She will be playing the Earth 2 version of Laura Lance, who is known as Black Siren. Cassidy will also lend her voice to the animated Flash Arrow spin-off Vixen as Earth 1 Laura Lance in season 2.
I like that consistency. So we've got The Flash and Supergirl producer Andrew Kreisberg. He was asked about the possibility of a version of Kara Zor-El living on Earth 1. That's the Flash's Earth. So the character could show up on his show this time, as opposed to just on the Supergirl show. Kreisberg responded with this. Now, do I have a voice that I should give him?
Just be you, man. Be yourself.
Nah, I'll do something cool. Any Kara that exists on Earth 1 would also have to be an alien. It can't just be Kara Danvers from Poughkeepsie. What is that? That's a city in New York. If she becomes a hero on that world, though, she might have a different costume. So comic fans know that there's already another famous version of Kara Zor-El in the DCU who lives on an alternate Earth and has a different costume and codenamed Power Girl.
I'm conflicted.
So do you want this?
I'm wearing an expression of shock from that impression. That admittedly wasn't Kreisberg. It was just, I don't know what that was. But I love this news.
Yeah.
I think this is genius. Power Girl, a great character in her own right, but she is Supergirl from Earth 2.
And this is the way they can bring
her
in.
Yeah, so just flip it on the Flash and have it so Karen Starr, who is the secret identity of Power Girl, not Kara Danvers, be Power Girl. And that way, Melissa Benoist can be on the Flash and just not have it connected to Supergirl.
Now, does Power Girl have her connection to Superman?
She does, but they don't need to play to that on the TV show. They could just have it in this world that for whatever reason, the only Kryptonian that came to Earth was Power Girl.
They can do that. Yeah. That's fine. Cool. Because I know that was a bit of a thing, like, you know, Superman would exist then. But that's all good.
So Marvel has announced Cloak and Dagger, a new series based on the superhero duo, which is being described as a superhero love story.
That's exciting.
The series... Are you excited about this? I don't know. Well, the series will focus on Tandy Bowen and Tyrone Johnson. Well, they're hip names. Cloak and Dagger. As they learn to use their newly acquired superpowers while also falling in love with each other. Cloak is capable of teleportation through the dimension of darkness, but can also leave foes stranded in the other world as well. Dagger has the ability to create light daggers with her mind, which she can control as well. Her daggers are capable of both draining life from their targets or healing them.
All right.
So we're getting another Marvel show.
It sounds cute and cool at the same time. Yeah.
Okay, next story. More Marvel news.
Okay. So Douglas Petri and Marco Ramirez, the showrunners of Daredevil Season 2, will be back to serve as showrunners on the original series, which unites Daredevil's Cox, Jessica Jones's Kristen Ritter, Luke Cage's Mike Coulter, and Iron Fist's Finn Jones. Anything you're excited for besides just seeing them on screen together?
Yeah, I mean, just like seeing the Avengers for the first time, we're essentially going to get to see that with the Defenders, you know, the street-level heroes. Yeah, I'm excited for Defenders.
My curiosity is, like, what's going to bring them together and what's, you know, what's their goal going to be sort of on the street? Or will it just be, you know, some big villain that...
Well, we've just had the second season of Daredevil. We're going to be getting Luke Cage, I think, September. So maybe we'll know more by that point. Because you've got to think, after watching the first season of Jessica Jones, that she's going to appear in Luke Cage.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they're currently filming Iron Fist. So they'll be building towards it. I mean, come on, this is Marvel. I mean, how many steps ahead do they plan? Cinemax is developing a series based on the Garth Ennis written and Derek Robertson drawn hyperviolent graphic novel, The Boys. The series is being developed by Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, and Supernatural creator Eric Kripke.
Okay.
So this is a world, if you're not familiar with The Boys, where the superheroes rule, essentially, and they're not all nice. So you've got The Boys, which are like a covert operative team that monitor the heroes. So again, it is a hyper-violent series.
Well, bit of gore and stuff never really...
We've already got Preacher on its way, also yeah. From the same guys, you know, Rogan and Goldberg.
Now, for the Trekkies out there, the new Star Trek TV series will reportedly be set sometime after the events of Star Trek, The Undiscovered Country, between the original series and the Next Generation. Also, it's rumored to be an anthology series, so if true, the entire Star Trek universe is potentially open.
This is fantastic news. We're going to get the JJ-verse, let's call it that, in the movies, but on TV, essentially, they could tap into that original continuity.
Which is... You know, I can't say I know too much about the old Star Trek world, but like to be able to jump over, I know there's multiple series and like time frames and stuff like that. So yeah, why not? I mean, Star Trek is the perfect platform for it. I think, you know, they've got so much.
I mean, talking history. Of it being an anthology show, I think is incredible. Just one and done storylines.
That's it.
Like
and then
American
move on to
Horror
else.
Story, American Crime Story. We've seen that already. So to have the Star Trek version of
keep it fresh. And just keep new people tuning in every season and something different.
Completely on board. Now, the TNT network is officially greenlighting their rumoured Tales from the Crypt reboot. So it will be, I mean, 10 episodes in its first season and will be guided by a newly reinvented Crypt Keeper. When they first started talking about rebooting the series, Crypt Keeper wasn't going to be involved. Okay. If he's a real person, the character.
But now we get confirmation. He appeared at the start yeah. And told the story.
Well, that's it. He introduces the story. So we're getting a reinvented version. So we'll have to wait and see what that looks like, but just know that we will be getting a Crypt Keeper.
Now, this show was for kids.
No, it was a live action horror, well, essentially an anthology show.
And it was for adults?
And then they did a kids version, yeah. So they did a cartoon.
That's probably what
I'm
thinking.
So you had the live action one for adults, Tales from the Crypt, and the cartoon you're thinking of was Tales from the Crypt Keeper. Slight difference. Now it's time for Superhero Cast Quiz. This is where I will list the cast of comic book characters starring in a non-comic book movie.
Okay, now we're getting to like the bottom of the barrel, I think.
So the movie, well, the characters, not going to give it away, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Ant-Man. Well, this is great radio, I've got to say.
keep the listeners in. We should get like a phone line, do this live, get people to call in.
We need a countdown.
Countdown? Yeah, give me a clock.
Well, at this point, I'm going to give you the answer so we can move on to the next one. It is Wonder Boys.
Which Spider-Man was that? Tobey Maguire?
Tobey Maguire.
Okay, cool.
Next movie. Professor X, Maya Hansen, Doctor Strange, Howard Stark.
I'm at a loss again. That's a...
Starter for 10.
I don't know what that
is. English movie.
No.
And you're doing that well. You're going to leave it at 2, and we're going to go straight into... You can say that again. That is where we will do an impression of a celebrity and a famous quote. We will both do one each, and these are drawn at random. You want me to go first? Say hello to my little friend. Oh, that was bad. That was painful. That's what that was. I apologize.
I don't know what to say. That was obviously Scarface.
I mean, is that a good thing that you got it right? Well, yes, correct.
Because I got the line. You want to know how I got these scars? My father was a drinker and a fiend. And one night, he goes off crazier than usual. Mummy gets the kitchen knife to defend herself. He doesn't like that. Not one bit. So me, watching, he takes the knife to her, laughing while he does it. He turns to me and says, "Why so serious?" Comes at me with the knife. "Why so serious?" He sticks the blade to my mouth. "Let's put a smile on that face. And why so serious?" You know that one?
Well, I'm getting Herbert from Family Guy.
To hell with you.
I feel like I just don't want to validate that impression. It's okay.
Wasn't that bad?
Well, well, you made some interesting choices. The Dark Knight, the Joker.
Well done.
And now let's recommend.
Recommend okay. The Dark Knight, starring Heath Ledger.
So I'll let you go first. What do you have to recommend for us this time?
Okay, I'm going to do a YouTube channel. I'm a bit different. Screen Junkies. I found myself on their channel for quite a long, extensive period of time whilst I should have been doing other things. Mainly part of... They've got the Screen Junkies show hosted by Hal Rudnick, which consists mostly of interviews and film discussions. But what I want to point out is their Honest Trailers section, the series of trailers narrated previously by Plotomy Slocum, if I pronounced that right, probably didn't, and Gannon Nicol. But it's currently by John Bailey, and he does an amazing job. They basically deconstruct, the movies, and then just, like it is, like they say, honestly describe it to you, which is a bag of laughs. There's heaps of movies that they've done. You will find yourself distracted for many hours.
Good stuff. So we're plugging a channel that, so feel free, guys, if you want to give us a plug, by all means. I'm going to recommend, okay, so you've done something different. I'm going to recommend a stand-up comedian. So Jimmy Carr has his new show, Funny Business. If you're not familiar, Jimmy Carr, well, he's the first British comedian to make an original stand-up for Netflix. So if you have Netflix, then you have access to Jimmy Carr Funny Business. Carr unleashes his distinctive comedy and wickedly funny one-liners, and it is to a sold-out audience at the London's Hammersmith Apollo. I've been a fan of Jimmy's for a number of years. I'm saying Jimmy's if I know him. Of Jimmy Carr for a number of years. Most recently, for the last couple of years, I've probably seen him more on panel shows. You may recognise him from QI, Mock the Week, Celebrity Juice. But this is Jimmy Carr uncensored. Like, there's no topic he won't touch. I watched this recently. It goes for 1 hour, so it's a 1 hour stand-up. It is absolutely hilarious. Jimmy Carr, funny business. Now, closing on some trivia. So the concept for the movie The Frighteners, which was the movie that came out in 1996, was originally going to be a Tales from the Crypt film. But Robert Zemeckis loved the script so much that it had it spun off with Peter Jackson directing. Loved that movie, but didn't know that's where it started.
All right, wicked.
So if you like what you're hearing, follow us on Facebook or Twitter. If you have any suggestions for segments or just want to give us a shout out, leave a comment or send us a message. This and all of our other podcasts are available on SoundCloud, iTunes and YouTube. We also have our website, www.thatfilmstewpodcast.weebly.com. Thanks for listening.
I just touched on Wonder Woman briefly. Hello.
Okay.
Wow.